Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy for Today. My name is Heather. If you're just now joining us on this part of the podcast, we are reading through the Bible, the one-year chronological Bible, the New Living Translation, large print, of course. And today we are going to play a little catch-up. We are on April the 4th, and we're going to go ahead and get caught up on the Bible reading schedule. We're going to go ahead and start back that today on April the 4th. I did get a new mic, and I'm hoping that this mic will be a little better than the other ones that I've had. We'll see. This is a Germano mic. It's a Germano mic, and we're going to see how it goes. I did a little testing with it. I think it sounds okay. So we're going to see. Okay, so apparently I have a reverberating voice. I do have, so I'm going to try not to speak so loudly. So we're at April the 4th, like I said. We're at Jephthah's Vow. This is Judges chapter 11, verses 29 through 40. And I'll go ahead and start reading today. So may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Oh, if you are joining us, it is April the 8th. We all survived the solar eclipse, and I don't think anything catastrophic happened, not to my knowledge. I haven't heard anything. I went out, I saw the eclipse here in Texas where I'm at. We had like 87% totality, which wasn't, you know, it just kind of looked like, you know, the sun went, you know, a little bit behind the clouds. It did get a little dark, kind of like evening-ish, you know. It was kind of neat. You know, several of us there were outside looking, and it was pretty neat. It wasn't totality or anything like that here, but, it was amazing. God, does such amazing things, and the pictures, that are coming in are just absolutely stunning. I was able to watch it with my client. We got to watch it on TV. My sister lives in Tyler, Texas, and they did hit totality, total darkness. It was pretty neat. So God works things miraculously, and what an awesome God we serve. So just remember, you know, I think this is a warning sign to America, especially to America, with how we're treating, our administration is treating Israel. You know, God says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And so we are in some deep trouble with God here in America. So we are praying that our administration will turn around and start supporting Israel again. I think God is definitely warning us. This is, if anything, like I've said this whole time, it is a giant warning to America and possibly to the world. You know, as always, we just need to repent, turn back to the Lord. And I think that's what God is telling us to do now. So anyway, we're back in the Bible. So here we go. April the 4th, Jephthah's Vow, Judges, chapter 11, verses 29 through 40. And here we go. Okay. So, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he went throughout the land of Gilead and Manasseh, including Mizpah and Gilead. And from there, he led an army against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. He said, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will give to the Lord whatever comes out of my house to meet me when I return in triumph. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. So Jephthah led his army against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave him victory. He crushed the Ammonites, devastating about 20 towns from Aroer to an area near Minnith and as far away as Abel-Karamim. In this way, Israel defeated the Ammonites. When Jephthah returned home to Mizpah, his daughter came out to meet him, playing on a tambourine and dancing for joy. She was his one and only child. He had no other sons or daughters. When he saw her, he tore his clothes in anguish. Oh, my daughter, he cried out, you have completely destroyed me. You've brought disaster on me, for I have made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. And she said, Father, if you have made a vow to the Lord, you must do to me whatever you have vowed. For the Lord has given you a great victory over your enemies, the Ammonites. But first, let me do this one thing. Let me go up and roam in the hills and weep with my friends for 2 months because I will die a virgin. You may go, Jephthah said. And he sent her away for 2 months. She and her friends went into the hills and wept because she would never have children. When she returned home, her father kept the vow he had made, and she died a virgin. So it has become a custom in Israel for young Israelite women to go away for 4 days each year to lament the fate of Jephthah's daughter. Ephraim fights with Jephthah. Judges chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Then the people of Ephraim mobilized an army and crossed over the Jordan River to Zaphon. They sent this message to Jephthah. Why didn't you call for us to help you fight against the Ammonites? We are going to burn down your house with you in it. Jephthah replied, I summoned you at the beginning of the dispute, but you refused to come. You failed to help us in our struggle against Ammon. So when I realized you weren't coming, I risked my life and went to battle without you, and the Lord gave me victory over the Ammonites. So why have you now come to fight me? The people of Ephraim responded, you men of Gilead are nothing more than fugitives from Ephraim and Manasseh. So Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and attacked the men of Ephraim and defeated them. Jephthah captured the shallow crossings of the Jordan River, and whenever a fugitive from Ephraim tried to go back across, the men of Gilead would challenge him. Are you a member of the tribe of Ephraim? They would ask. If the man said, no, I'm not, they would tell him to say Shibboleth. If he was from Ephraim, he would say Shibboleth, because people from Ephraim cannot pronounce the word correctly. Then they would take him and kill him at the shallow crossings of the Jordan. In all, 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Jephthah judged Israel for 6 years. When he died, he was buried in one of the towns of Gilead. Isban becomes Israel's judge. Judges chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. After Jephthah died, Isban from Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He sent his daughters to marry men outside his clan, and he brought in 30 young women from outside his clan to marry his sons. Isban judged Israel for 7 years. When he died, he was buried at Bethlehem. Elon becomes Israel's judge. Judges chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. After Isban died, Elon from the tribe of Zebulun judged Israel for 10 years. When he died, he was buried at Ajalon in Zebulun. Aben becomes Israel's judge. Judges chapter 12, verses 13 to 15. After Elon died, Abdon, son of Hillel from Pirathon, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He judged Israel for 8 years. When he died, he was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. The birth of Samson. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 through 25. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. The woman ran and told her husband, a man of God appeared to me. He looked like one of God's angels, terrifying to see. I didn't ask where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he told me, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food, for your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, saying, Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instruction about the son who is to be born. God answered Manoah's prayer, and the angel of God appeared once again to his wife as she was sitting in the field. But her husband, Manoah, was not with her. So she quickly ran and told her husband, the man who appeared to me the other day is here again. Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, are you the man who spoke to my wife the other day? Yes, he replied, I am. So Manoah asked him, when your words come true, what kind of rules should govern the boy's life and work? The angel of the Lord replied, be sure your wife follows the instructions I gave her. She must not eat grapes or raisins, drink wine, or any other alcoholic drink. or eat any forbidden food. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please stay here until we can prepare a young goat for you to eat. I will stay, the angel of the Lord replied, but I will not eat anything. However, you may prepare a burnt offering as a sacrifice to the Lord. Manoah didn't realize it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, what is your name? For when all this comes true, we want to honor you. Why do you ask my name? The angel of the Lord replied, it is too wonderful for you to understand. Then Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord. And as Manoah and his wife watched, the Lord did an amazing thing. As the flames from the altar shot up toward the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended in the fire. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell with their faces to the ground. The angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord, and he said to his wife, we will certainly die, for we have seen God. But his wife said, if the Lord were going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us this wonderful thing and done these miracles. When her son was born, she named him Samson. And the Lord blessed him as he grew up, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he lived in Mahanadan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtael. Samson's Riddle, Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. One day, when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistines' women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, a young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me. His father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good to me. His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines who ruled over Israel at that time. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaw apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with a woman and was very pleased with her. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey into his bare hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it, but he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. As his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, and as was the custom for elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions. Samson said to them, let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to explain the riddle for us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, you don't love me, you hate me. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother, he replied. Why should I tell you? So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset of the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson replied, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had solved his riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at the wedding. Samson's vengeance on the Philistines. Judges chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. And this happened about 1080 BC. Later on, during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. He said, "I'm going into my wife's room to sleep with her, but her father wouldn't let me in. I truly thought you must hate her," her father explained, "so I gave her in marriage to your best man. But look, her younger sister is even more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead." Samson said, "This time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines." Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails together in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of tails. When he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grain fields of the Philistines, he burned all their grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves. "Who did this?" the Philistines demanded. "Samson," was the reply, "because his father-in-law from Timnah gave Samson's wife to be married to his best man." So the Philistines went and got the woman and her father and burned them to death. "Because you did this," Samson vowed, "I won't rest until I take my revenge on you." So he attacked the Philistines with great fury and killed many of them when he went to live in a cave in the rock of Edom. The Philistines retaliated by setting up camp in Judah and spreading out near the town of Lehi. The men of Judah asked the Philistines, "Why are you attacking us?" The Philistines replied, "We've come to capture Samson. We've come to pay him back for what he did to us." So 3,000 men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave in the rock of Edom. They said to Samson, "Don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us?" But Samson replied, "I only did to them what they did to me." But the men of Judah told him, "We have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." "All right," Samson said, "but promise that you won't kill me yourself." "We will only tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines," they replied. "We won't kill you." So they tied him up with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. As Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the ropes on his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrist. Then he found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey and picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, I've piled them in heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men." When he finished his boasting, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was named Jawbone Hill. Samson was now very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord, "You have accomplished this great victory by the strength of your servant. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these pagans?" So God caused water to gush out of a hollow in the ground at Lehi, and Samson was revived as he drank. Then he named that place the Spring of the One Who Cried Out, and it is still in Lehi to this day. Samson judged Israel for 20 years during the period when the Philistines dominated the land. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this trip as we travel through the Bible chronologically. I'm hoping that it's a blessing to you guys. It sure has been a blessing to me. And I just learn so much, as we travel through the Word. And like I always say, get in the Word of God, get into you. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. May today be the day the Lord Jesus comes and takes us home. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray that today you would make that decision. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. And so Jesus Christ came and he took our sin upon him as he hung on the cross. He died in our place. He suffered the wrath of God so that we would not have to. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, he will save you. And I just ask, that today you would make that decision. You'd make that decision because we don't know how much time we have left. You don't know. You could get hit by a bus, struck by lightning, drop dead from a heart attack. You don't know. You don't know, but God knows. God knows. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, you can make that decision. God didn't create robots. He gave us free will. He gave us free will. And so I pray that you'd make that decision today. Just cry out to Lord Jesus and just ask him to save you. Repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask him to save you. Believe that he died and rose again, and that's where our faith is in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you make that decision today. And with that, guys, I'm going to get out of here. So get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. In Maranatha, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank y'all so much for listening. And like I always say, if you go to our website, BibleProphecyTheNumberFourToday.com, lots of resources there. All right, guys. So with that, I really am getting out of here. And till the next time, we'll be reading Samson Removes Gaza's Gates and Samson and Delilah. So that's going to be on the 5th of April. Good Lord willing, we'll get caught up tomorrow. All right. Thank y'all so much for listening.